Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host this morning, Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos.
Good morning.
We are so, so, so excited about joining you today to encourage you, to tell you the Lord is in control. How we know he's in control, because those people that are against him keep on saying he's not.
Yeah.
Praise God, that means he is, because Satan is not only a liar, he's the father of lies. He actually has little children he births called little liars. And some big ones too, big lies, little lies. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Does God do these things amongst us because we obey some law or because we believe? Let me tell you something. If all you got left is your belief in God and his ability to deliver you, you got everything you need.
Amen.
Be strong. Be courageous. The Lord thy God is with thee. Or the GIV is, dude, God's with you, man.
You got it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Yeah, morning.
And John Ramos. Good morning. Woo! Hey, I'm telling you what. Man, here we are. It is Friday.
Friday.
Thank you, God, for Friday. Because
it must be a comfortable day, too. Pat, you check out what he's wearing today?
Yeah. What? That's really cool.
This is my Franklin. This is my Franklin. It goes with my Franklin, you know, my Franklin planner system. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to give a happy shout, a happy birthday, by the way, to Russ Sweeney this morning. Happy birthday, Russ.
Happy birthday.
Well, you know, also want to give a shout out this morning to Maria. Maria, want to say hello there in New Jersey and Toys R Us and Sophia. You guys are just a bright, shining light there for the Lord. And Joanne, good morning. And also good morning to all your patients today in the Presbyterian Hospital there in New York. What a blessing they have you serving them. You're so encouraging to us. Well, now, my shirt, what are you talking about my shirt? What's up with
it? Oh, it's jazzy. I'm not used to you wearing that type of shirt right there. I like that.
You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, bright. I like it. Is it bright?
In my sunglasses.
Well, you know, it's kind of like camouflage. It's just my doctor's taught to me, and I said, because of camouflage. You know what I'm saying? I like it. You know, it's kind of relaxed, but kind of like, it's kind of like, you know. Yeah. Well, your hair's looking good this morning.
Well, hey, it takes a lot of work to get this thing right. You know what I'm saying? So, hair's working really good.
Well, yeah, it's looking good. Well, getting past my shirt this morning.
I'm trying. I'm really hard.
It's just so bright. I mean,
is it really?
I like it.
I mean, it makes a statement, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, it's got a statement written right across it. I got to get my glasses to find out what it says. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. I remember I left a sticker on my shirt once, and it said small. Lord, forgive me. That's not true. It didn't say small. But I did leave a sticker on there. Well, you know, here we are. It's Friday, and we want to encourage you this morning. We want to be able to share with you some things that are going on, but also to encourage you from the Word of God and, you know, what God is laying on our heart to be able to share with you. Yesterday, you know, we were talking about, you know, how do we deal with the things that are taking place in society in America, and there's a couple approaches. One is a religious approach, you know. One's a religious approach where, you know, we just tell people to act right while we're not, you know. And then there's another approach, and that's what the Pharisees were doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus walked by, you know, and they weren't letting him in the building, by the way. I mean, he did try, you know, and then they threw him out because they were jealous of him. Anyway, so he's walking by the dirt road, down the dirt road with the sandals on, his sandal Reeboks. And, and man, I got so carried away. Help me. Where am I?
Where am I going?
Where am I? And so,
religion.
Religion. Thank you. Pharisees. And then the very ones, you know, that were saying they were speaking for God, and they were the ones preaching out of the Torah and the Bible and all that, they were the wrong ones.
Imagine that.
They were the wrong ones. And they were telling, including Jesus, God in the flesh, that he was wrong. And then he looks at them and he says, you whitewashed tombs. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, I'm not making this up. I am not making
it. It's in there. It's in there.
And the King James whitewasheth tombs. But, you know, either version, you know, is, or the GIV is, dude, you're dead. You just got green paint on the outside, but it's dead on the inside. That, you know, he says it's the inside of the cup. Mm-hmm. And if a religious response to what's going on is for us to say, hey, paint your cup up. You just need some better paint on your tomb. Mm-hmm. You know, if you guys just act better. And it's a failed attempt, by the way. I mean, if you haven't tried it yet, if you ever just get these good plans, you know, it's like, you know, this is going to be my most righteous week. That's what Paul said. Paul said it, and he's right. He wrote about it even. And yeah. You know, he said, you know, I got some good plans. You know, this is going to be a 41 day fast.
Right.
41 minutes later is like, he's like, did you hear the food talking to me? I think I heard from the Lord. What do you say? Eat.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you just can't do it. It's impossible to do it. And if it's impossible to do it for us who are believers outside of the power empowerment of God, and it has to be a transformation from the inside out, it's a circumcised heart, not a circumcised flesh, that, how can we point at society and say, don't you see the laws? The law says this. And so then they counteract that by saying, well, you need to change the laws because this is what we're doing. And everybody's talking. It's an outside of the cup argument.
Exactly.
Right. And it's like, by the way, we're not going to win that one. And the world's not going to win it because God is after a man's heart. And when you look, it just looks like to me a whole bunch of broken china. You know, it looks like I'm thinking this is not good. First of all, there's nothing more irritating than an outside of the cup argument. You know, look how well painted my whitewashed tomb is. It's like,
well, it looks so good. You know, I remember when I was working with the youth, one time I had two cups to show them this concept, and I was trying to get them to drink out of one of these two cups, and they were all trying to get to this cup. It was real fancy cups, and one of the cups had something in it to drink, and the other cup was filled with worms and dirt and just all kind of critters, but they couldn't see it because all they saw was the outside of the cup. And it's like, it all looks the same on the outside. It's just a facade, but it's not real. And God doesn't look at the facade. He's so way up looking down. All he sees is what's on the inside, never looks at the outside of the cup. All he's concerned is the inside.
And that's what confuses a lot of people, because normally the ones who look the best on the outside are the worst on the inside. And the ones who look the best on the inside, on the natural sense, they look the worst on the outside.
Wow.
And it really confuses the people, because somebody says, well, how in the world, you know, could you really have God if you're meeting up under a tree in, you know, Tiberias? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
How can this be God? I mean, how could God be moving if all you have is a saw blade for music, you know, in Nigeria? And I'm talking about,
they
have a saw blade and they beat on the blades, makes different sounds. Mm-hmm. You remember when you were in the carpentry business?
Oh, yeah.
Strumming away.
And as a matter of fact, he knew how to put his finger on the carpentry business. How many put his finger, right?
Anyway, right on it.
Right on it. And then he picked it up and went to the hospital and put it back on again. Right?
That's right.
I'm telling you, it's pointing all which way in the studio today, so I just want to get you.
That's right.
Talk about my shirt. No, I'm joking. Not. And so, but, you know, I mean, think about it. There's nothing more. I mean, it's just, and everybody quietly, when they hear a whitewashed tomb argument or an outside cup argument who are authentic, they just get real quiet because they're thinking, you know, I was like, my outsides, I'm telling you what, because my inside's so bad, I know there's no way I can get my outside to line up.
Yeah.
But then you have this person that looks like, you know, they're struggling financially. Maybe they're struggling in relationships. Maybe they're struggling. And you find out, if you go to the core of it, is it's actually everything's struggling with them. They're not struggling with it. Mm-hmm. Because they're following God, and their environment around them is not following God. And it's like oil and water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you have the outside of the cup, argument, then people would say, how could this lady who put two copper coins in the offering, how could she be more righteous than these guys who just, you know, I mean, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is going, this woman's awesome.
Right.
Look, she's given more than all of you. You know, the Pharisees are going like, go count that. There's something wrong here. Cause I know I looked at everybody's stuff and I gave more than anybody else. As a matter, I told everybody I'm more godly and I'm more right because I have more political friends and I give more money. I make sure when I give money that it's written on their website so they can see that this is this wing of this idea is was purchased by me. You know, that kind of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. You remember when we were on the plane? And going to Israel.
Yeah.
And a particular person stood up to turn towards the temple to pray.
Yeah.
And of course, he put on his prayer cloth. He stood up and, you know, he has a phylactery box on and all that. Mm-hmm. And he looked at us in the plane. And it was like, you peasants. You heathen.
Right.
I mean, really dead. You know, really dead. And we were like, whoa. We felt it, didn't we? It was amazing, wasn't it? It was totally amazing. It's like, wow.
Amazing.
But it happens every day. Mm-hmm. It happens every day. It maybe happened covertly. You know, flattery is what somebody says to your face they wouldn't say behind your back. Mm-hmm. And
gossip.
Gossip is something they say behind your back they wouldn't say to your face.
Right.
So
right.
Most of the stuff in America, the way it's done in that kind of format. You know what I'm saying? But you just ask the people around that person and they'll tell you, oh yeah, that's how they pray.
Yeah.
That's how they give. And understand this. Listen, it's not about the outside of the cup. And I want to encourage you this morning, you know, that, you know, start working on your heart. You know, ask God, say, here's my heart. You know, my flesh is a mess. Mm-hmm. My soul is all over the place, which is what you think, what you want, and what you feel. And it's okay. It's okay to go, you know, I'm thinking the wrong things. I'm feeling the wrong things. I'm wanting the wrong things in my soul. But my spirit, man, wants you, God. I want you. Mm-hmm. And so you just offer your body as a living sacrifice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is a living victim, by the way. Somebody says, I just feel like a victim. I feel like a victim. I look at it, I go, oh, that's so wonderful. Things are working out really well. How are you responding to being victimized? Not well. Right. Okay, we'll work on that part.
Right.
And he says that be transformed by the renewing of your soul, your mind, what you want, what you think, and what you feel. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be able to know what God's perfect will is.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an inside out thing. And you'll be really surprised if you quit trying to work from the outside in and quit hanging with people who are just whitewashed tombs. I mean, Jesus, people go, you know, Jesus wouldn't say that. That's where I got it from. It was the red letters. You know, if you read a lot of Bible, it's Jesus is talking to the whitewashed, you know, he says, listen, you go all the way across the oceans to evangelize.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, to win somebody to the kingdom. You bring them back. You put more burdens on them that they can't even bear. You don't even lift a finger to help them. And you don't even let them into the very kingdom that they're seeking. And you make them twice as much a son of hell as you are.
Wow.
Unquote. Paraphrase. Right? Is it not?
That's right.
Yeah.
And we got to understand, we got to be careful that if we focus people on the outside of the cup, the things that I'm presently doing on the outside started on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I got a journey to go. I have a ways to go. I'm trying to work my way, you know, to Pat's ability to do this. He was raining so much here today when he walked in. He was walking on top of the mud puddles when he's coming in.
Really?
One of them just parted, you know, and he walked through the mud, but it was on dry ground.
right.
No, I'm just joking with you. He must try them. Nothing parted. He's wet. No. But what you're seeing, this is what concerns me about America. I'm really down to my depths of my spirit and soul and disturbed. I mean, they're aggressively. This is a spirit in the land. It's an aggressive spirit to rip Jesus from our very culture, to just rip him and molest the church from everything that it is about, and the church sleeps. Mm. I mean, it's like trying to, I can just feel it in my spirit. They're just trying to rip, you know, Jesus out of America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, outcome based education. You know, all these. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But the church sleeps, and then if we do say something, it's like we're having an outside-the-cup argument, which we're going to lose Because they're looking at our hearts. They're looking at our fruit. Mm-hmm. And fruit comes from the heart. You know, we were known by our fruit, you know, not by, you know, what we say. Mm-hmm. We're known by what we do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to encourage you this morning. It's going to be a lot easier for you if you don't listen to all that and just allow God to begin to work on your heart. Lay your heart out. Say, God, here's my heart. You know, it's deceitful above all things, and only you know my heart, and you'll test my heart, but I want to give it to you, and I pray for the grace to walk through these times of testing of my faith.
Right.
And I believe, Lord, that as I get into your word and I abide with you, and if you don't know, if you need a good idea or how to abide with God, you can go right now. We have it for you, a way to do it, at iabide.org. Just go there, get a simple, request a simple plan, and it'll come to you immediately. Even a simple little video, step by step, how to do something so simple you could do it with a crayon.
Yeah.
And God will show up, and God will begin to transform you, fundamentally transform you from the inside out. And then you'll be just as shocked when you're looking at these outside of the cup, whitewashed tomb arguments. Mm-hmm. And statistics say that we're a mess right now. Statistics say that the church is a mess, and we can't point our fingers, and that's what we talked about yesterday. But we can fight, but we fight this way by doing what's right.
Right.
Long enough, believing that God will reward us as we do. That was the pilgrims, right?
That's right.
They believed if they did what was right long enough, God would respond, which means put no time frames on it. This is my life. This is how I live, you know, flaws and all, but I'm going to live for God.
Right.
You know, and then God will begin to transform me. He'll begin to transform those around me. He'll begin to transform my nation. The best fight that we can fight in America right now is for the church to repent.
Right.
To get back into our constitution, which is the Bible.
Right.
Begin to embrace it, even if we have to set aside traditions that conflict his traditions, or philosophies, these good ideas, these little books and stuff. And just say, you know what? I just want God. Everything's got to go. I got to have God. And you'll really enjoy your walk with God when you realize you're already, you know, like Steve was saying the other day on VFN Radio, he said, I found out. And he's wanting an island.
Yeah, right.
You know, I can see the picture of the island on his mirror right there. I'm going
to
get an island. I see the island.
I'd like to know what's on that list.
Well, I actually wanted to take him to one of these little small 4-foot islands down here.
Yeah, right.
I want to get a picture. I was like, there's your island, man. There's your island. Good morning, Steve. But I thought it was so cool, you know, because I know where he's coming from, because that, you know, prior to me meeting God, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I was I was like the self-help book type person, you know. I was standing there with John. I mean, he worked on the books on the lower shelf, and I got the books on the higher shelf, and we just read all these books, right?
The country, right?
Huh?
You wanted the island. You wanted the country.
I didn't want a country. I like the idea of having, you know, working hard.
Yeah.
And you know, what do you need to do what you need to do?
Yeah.
You know, some people think about making things happen. Some people make things happen, but most people just wonder what happened.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that just amazes me. It's like, you know, you're going to spend your whole life, you're going to wake up in about a decade or two, and you're going to regret wasting this opportunity that you had to be able to live this gift called life for God, you know, and you're going to have two regrets, you know, to everybody that if you didn't live do what was right in the context of that, everybody has two regrets on their deathbed. You know, I wish I would have done more for my family because I'm about to leave them. And I wish I would have done more for God because I'm about to see him in a few moments. Mm-hmm. Think about that. A few moments, which first of all, as a believer, you know, it's very, very exciting. I was just listening to somebody say, you know, I don't know, you know, men have, you know, issues with this and men have issues with that. Shocker. And and there's a lady responding back, and she said, well, I didn't realize men carried such stress. Yeah. And so he says, yeah, men fear death, you know, the dying. And she says, well, you just need to get right with Jesus. And that's so true. I mean, we should not fear death.
Right.
Understand this. If you were to die at this one moment, I mean, if you're not like a Pharisee, you know, the whitewashed tomb's not going to get you nowhere. But if you actually experience the tomb of Jesus, which is empty, you know, that's going to get you somewhere.
That's right.
And by the way, you know, Pat and I, when we went to Israel, we went and looked in the tomb, mm-hmm. right where Jesus was being laid. They believe.
Right.
Did I just hear you in some part of our hour-long conversation? I believe. And he wasn't there.
Yeah.
He wasn't there, and it had a sign on the outside say he's risen.
He's risen.
But think about it. You know, David Wilkerson, an awesome man of God, authentic, real. I mean, his story. He wrote The Cross and the Switchblade. Mm-hmm. He started Teen Challenge. He just has a passion for, you know, God and just vibrated with the heart of God, wanting to see a society turn. And he was driving down the road in Texas, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, he's in an accident, mm-hmm. and a truck hits him, or vice versa, and instantly, David Wilkerson was probably knocked right out of that body, mm-hmm. and instantly showed up in the presence of God.
Wow.
It's the most exciting thing. It just blows me away to hear people say they're scared of death.
Right.
I don't understand. If the only way that we would fear death if we had not had the surety that we know Jesus Christ is Lord. If you want to get over the fear of death, and listen, we're about to get into a season in America that you got to come to grips with the reality mm-hmm. of it's appointed once to die.
That's right.
And then you're instantly in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, you need to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. That face that, and when you face that, you realize just like everybody does that's facing that, they go, I'm fixing to see God. So mm-hmm. get right now with God.
Mm-hmm.
You live for God now. Mm-hmm. You know, go to meetmyfather.org and find out, you know, some of our stories, and it'll walk you through exactly how you can meet the Lord. But you can just right now cry out and say, God, I don't want to have a fear of death. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of worrying about something taking me out. I want to just celebrate the moment that I'm going to go to be with you. I'm going to tell my friends around me, you don't pray me out of a cave because I'm going to be in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
Lazarus. You imagine Lazarus? He's like, Lord, send him back. And all of a sudden he comes back into his body and they give him a mortgage payment or something. It's like, dude, yeah. I was in heaven.
Right.
Yeah. I was in heaven.
Teresa says, don't wear black at my funeral. Make sure everybody's in white.
Yeah.
Celebration. Don't you wear no black.
Right,
everybody
right.
dressed in white.
Right. And you can even go to the VFN Torch and listen to Don Piper. And Don Piper, 90 Minutes in Heaven. Just type in 90 Minutes in Heaven, the VFN Torch. You get to it at VFNTV.com and click on the torch.
Mm-hmm.
That and hear him explain what heaven's like. I mean, heaven mm-hmm. is so awesome that, you know, of all the things he saw, I'm not going to go into all the details, but the sound of heaven.
Hmm.
The sound of heaven, just the sound of heaven, because he never, you know, they were walking him towards the gates of heaven, which is beautiful. You got to hear it. And, you know, and it's just so beautiful. It was real bright, but it wasn't offensive light, you know, where it mm-hmm. kind of makes you squint, but it was just mm-hmm. pure white, like an operating room bright. And, but he said he could hear thousands of people, you know, obviously inside of the gates of heaven. And they were all singing, different songs at the same time.
Wow.
And he could hear each of them individually. None of them, there's no confusion.
Wow.
It's this roar of worship. And over the people were angels that were hovering, and they were so close that the brush of the wings were brushing each other over the people, which is basically fanning the praise, because if you think about it, it had to push the praise towards God.
Wow.
And he said, so you could hear the brush of the wings, and then you could hear the individually the songs being sung, and it was so beautiful. And he said the sound would just travel through your body. He said it was the most euphoric type feeling, you know, and you're scared to go to die? Life's too good for you.
Right.
You know, can you imagine, you know, somebody in, you know, in India, in Nepal, you know, saying, I don't know if I don't, you know, think about it. And we're all going to be there together, and we're all in the same family.
Mm-hmm.
And awesome. All the nations will be gathered before him.
Beautiful.
And we'll be singing our songs, and we'll all understand them. And he said, so he comes back into his body, long story short, 90 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, he tells his whole story. And at the end, he talks about times of depression. And because he says the biggest thing I miss, because that's that longing feeling for heaven to be with mm-hmm. God, Well, that's what we should be. We should have this longing to be with God, not a white picket fence and a raise.
Right.
You know, this life is, you know, and so, he said that, but I just miss heaven. And he said, but all the things I miss about it is the sound of heaven. Our God is so awesome. He is so awesome that he has prepared a place for those who are his. And if he's gone to prepare a place for those who are his, he's coming back for us. And if you were to die before he comes back, listen, you win. You're in the presence of God. This is the only thing we're going to do. We want to be able to do something that brings him glory before we get there, because we'll spend eternity going, man, I wasted that vapor called life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to be fruitful for him. I want to be able to offer him something. If he's doing all of that for me, if he's preparing all of that for me, for you, think about it. Let's do something for him. Let's be fruitful for him. Let's give him glory by us going out and not doing the great suggestion, but doing the great expectation of God is to go into all the world and tell them about this awesome Jesus, this King of Kings, and be able to say, you know what? He loves you. He's preparing a place for you. You have to choose to go there, but why would you not choose to go there? Don't fear death. Celebrate it. Realize to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But if you don't know God, you need to pray that you have more life than sin. We'll be right back.
Vine Fellowship Network University, vfnu.org. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You got to understand how things start and what God says, and how God, when he begins to do something, a new thing, a new work, he will normally call a people out from what he presently or in the past established, so he can begin not a new gospel, but a fresh wind, a fresh anointing for the next generation, you know. And one thing that we found out at Vine Fellowship Network is that, you know, God was preparing us for this next season of what's taking place. It really looks like possibly for the end times, you know. But either way, it's for our generation, you know, and at Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU, you can actually begin to learn and grow, because God's called you into the harvest field. It's not really an option. It's not the great option. Or the suggestion. It's the great commission. And in VFNU, you'll learn the history of how did the Vine Fellowship Network come to pass? I mean, how did it happen? And it came from a compelling and a word and a direction from God, and totally in alignment. Everything that we're aware of that is a related and scripturally correct, it just ties in. You can't help but look in every direction. And Vine Fellowship Network University, the pattern, the biblical pattern that he's called us to walk out, which is just the Word of God, that it reminds you of God.
Right.
You know, and a true prophet draws you closer to God, and a false prophet draws you closer to themselves. And our desire at Vine Fellowship Network University and VFN is to for you to be drawn closer to God. A byproduct of that is you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that as you're closer to God, you're hungrier for God. So in VFNU, you learn things about, you know, how the church is to function. You know, right now, we've taken on so many mindsets of the world, especially the American board business mindset, that we're convinced that the Father's business is like the world's business, but it's not.
Right.
And we also talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, what is, you can't rule out the one who's supposed to be, you know, ruling the church and under Jesus, and understanding how it controls God, and understanding the importance of being rightly related. And the, you know, there's biblical daily, weekly, there's patterns that we as believers that God tells us to go by in his word, and you'll discover what they mean biblically, how they fit, financial integrity, you know, finding out how we can best do what's right before God in our financial areas, discovering the biblical patterns of gathering as a church, the importance of maintaining your confidence, understanding the voice of the Lord, how God can speak with you, to you, you know, biblical foundations of faith, dealing with authority, zero tolerance, walk, worship, and warfare. I mean, there's so many things that you learn through VFNU that it just empowers you to do what God's called you to do. Listen, we want to see everything that God's called you to be manifest in your life, And we want to see you in the Great Commission. We want to, we're in agreement with you, Pat.
Yes.
Technology is amazing the way things are going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are just so, we get, you know, things are moving so quick. You remember, you used to have to, I don't know if you might, you remember dialing the phone?
Yeah.
The dial?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you mess up like on the seventh number or something, the sixth number. It's like, oh, man. They have 3 8s or zeros in their number. It's like, oh, my goodness. You love those, like, 1 2 2 1. You probably don't even know what we're talking about. You know, a lot of the generations listen. But listen, you know, people text today, and the text sends a text message, and it goes all the way to China.
Right.
And it lasts, I don't know, it takes about 6 seconds to get there. And we go, hurry up. You know?
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, think about this. You can subscribe to VFN TV. It's free to subscribe. And you can have access to everything. And, of course, we want you to have everything, you know, by texting.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually take your phone and text, if you can text, text the letters V as in Victor, VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's VFN TV to the number 22828. Did you know that? You text, this is how simple it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can text VFN TV to the number 22828, and it'll walk you through a few little simple processes. And next thing you know, you'll be fully subscribed, and you can log in to all the wonderful things that are available for you on at VFNTV.com and on your Android phones and your Apple phones and your iPads. And I don't know all the things going on there. That's just so neat, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It just text VFN TV to the number 22828. That's VFN TV to the number 22828. And, but I do want to remind you as we're progressing, don't forget about the marathon weekends. Marathon weekends on VFN radio is that week's VFN radio programs back to back. What it means is that 9 a.m. on Central Time on Saturdays, you will start a 24-hour broadcast will begin in place program, like Monday's program, first hour, Monday's extra hour, then Tuesday's, and it goes back to back. So literally while you're relaxing, maybe sharing time with friends, then when you turn on VFN radio on your phones or your iPads or your computers or your smart TVs or whatever, that you can listen to that entire week's program. Of course, we've got highlights, but don't forget the marathon weekend back.
That's awesome.
To back. Yeah, it is. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. We were just talking about the outside of the cup, whitewashed tombs, religious arguments. There's nothing more not stimulating. Religious arguments. You know, so cool is God doesn't require us to have one.
Right.
But there is debate, you know, for the faith, but not, you know, religious, you know, us being the standard versus Jesus being the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the heart being the epicenter of change. You know, the key is our heart. So if you miss that, catch it. I do want to just share with you, you know, yesterday we were able to talk about, you know, some of the topics that can really encourage you. You can find this on your VFN TV app. If you haven't downloaded your app, you can download an app for your mobile phone, mobile device in your app store. Just type in VFN TV and it comes up. It's a free app. You have highlights where you can listen just to segments of the programs, go back and remember, have a few laughs or learns about what's going on. But also you can listen to the program live anywhere in the world now with the VFN TV app. Just yesterday we were talking about, you know, who provides for you. I mean, you got to listen to that. You never really think about, you know, who is your provider? Because right now, that's the argument. The argument is, you know, where are we going to turn for provision? Where are we going to turn for provision? I'm actually looking at this right now on the VFN Torch, and you can get to this at VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch, right?
That's right.
Isn't that cool? My goodness. I tell you, whoever's managing our web presence is just brilliant. I mean, it's like somebody who knows how to turn a computer on.
Imagine that.
Right. Another, you know, I got to share yesterday about three things the doctor told me, and you might find this interesting, but also give God praise what's going on. Also, God is working it out. Listen, no matter what it is, realize God is working it out. It may feel like he's working you over, but in the end, he'll work it out, right?
That's right.
And then finally, you know, we can't point our fingers, but we can fight. You know, quite often people just say, well, you know, what can I do? And they just let things roll right over them. And the thing is, yeah, well, you can't point your fingers right,
But you can fight the good fight of faith. There is something that we can do. And then, of course, the top every day, you know, we try to talk about the top three stories on the VFN Torch. And so you can actually listen to that one segment. And if you're real busy, you can find out, you know, what are the top three that you guys are reading or listening to. And then I got a chance to share about Biscuits, United States Navy, New York in a Mansion. You've got to hear that. Yeah, you got to hear that. As well as, you know that, you know, atheism is on the increase in America. And people who define themselves as religious is on the decrease. You know, dropping from 73% to 60%. You got to go to the VFN Torch and just find out what's going on. You got to, you know, we want to be able to encourage you. We want to know you. We want you to be informed about the news. We don't want you just to, you know, so much of the church today that has a heart for God, you know, don't have a heart for the people and what's happening in the culture and the nation. And Jesus was all about, you know, going through from house to house and from city to city and transforming the city from the inside of the person's heart out, not from, you know, politics down. But but with that, you know, we need to get involved. We cannot bury our head in the sand of denial. So what we do at VFN Radio, you know, we look at the facts, you know, directly without, you know, just ever how it is, the truth. Then we illuminate it with light. The light of God's word, and we just kind of shine God's light on it, you know. His word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. That was good. That was very good. That was a test. And so, which means a light unto my feet, it tells me where I'm at, and it also is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my path, it tells me where I'm going.
That's right.
And so, if you want to know where you're at and you want to know where you're going, we need to look at what's happening, but then we need to take the light of God's word and kind of see what God says about it in his word. But then we want to be able to take that, okay, this is what's happening, this is what God says about it, but then we want to inspire you. We want to inspire you to understand is like, this has not taken God by surprise. There is a proper response, and greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But the question is, how do we respond to this? What do we do? You know, around the fountain at work, what do we say around? Do we just listen to the negative news and say nothing? Do we, you know, do we hear people say, oh, you know, anyway, just whatever, and you have no responses? Right. You know, because all you did or all you're hanging around is people who bury their heads in the sounds of denial and don't tell you how to live your life on a daily basis. You know, and people, it's if you deny, you know, 90% of your life, it appears a lot easier, but it's not. You know, and people live most of their life right in the context of the everyday culture. And how can we obey the great expectation of God if we don't know what to say?
That's right.
You know, what
that's
is right. God? You know, and so we want to encourage you. Then finally, the aspect that we want to do is to activate you. Now that we've looked at the truth, we educated ourselves on the truth, we illuminated it by lighting it up by God's word. We inspired you, understanding that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We want to activate you and us together to go into the world and to preach this good news and do something about it. Not just let the news run over us, but to nail the prognosticators right in their lie and say, you know, that might be what you believe.
That's right.
But I believe the report of the Lord. And then we have VFN TV. VFN TV is where we deliver the precept upon precept teaching of God's word. It's filled with prophetic words. It's filled with teachings from A to Z, and it's there for you. It's be a free subscriber to VFN TV, and you can listen to it and watch it on your mobile devices, your computers, your smart televisions, your Donna was going through a whole list of different things.
You know, iPads.
Yeah, but there's a notebooks.
iPads.
Well, iPads, but there's also Nook.
Nook. Yeah.
The Nook, the Hook, and the whatever.
Kindle Fires
and all that. And you can start getting these teachings. And so VFN Radio, you know, we bring you a lot of encouraging words in the Word of God. But precept upon precept, you can find that distinct aspect of what we're doing in VFN TV. And we're not leaving that out. We're actually bringing it all together. But on an everyday basis, you need to hear about what to do, what happened today. I mean, when somebody goes into the FRC and Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. with a Chick-fil-A bag a couple of days after all the people who stood up for the First Amendment, you know, and a gun, with a Chick-fil-A bag when people stood up, ate chicken around the country to stand up for the First Amendment rights, and goes in and begins to try to shoots the guard and is planning on shooting people that are there. Mm-hmm. We need to know what to do with that. We don't need to hunker down and get afraid. We need to say, wait a minute, why is this being allowed in our country? What have we done, God, that we have let it come to this point? Mm-hmm. Not what we've done as Americans. What have we done as Christians?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because, see, the thing about it is, God is in control. He's the creator of the universe. And it's his son, Jesus, who came and walked on the earth for 3 years as a sinless, born of a Virgin Mary, walked 3 years in his ministry, mm-hmm. sinless life. Mm-hmm. He's the one that paid the price for us. He's the only way to God. He died. He took on the sins of all men. You know, God turned his back from him because the sin was so utterly sinful. But once he was a sacrifice for sin, he was risen from the dead by God, the one and only God. And he sits now at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and me. I mean, he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's different. That's why it's different how Christians respond, because every other God's not God.
That's right.
Those are just ideas and concepts and religion and all that kind of stuff. And people are very religious. But you have to, the difference is this, Christians, that we serve the true God, and we know about the only access to him. Any other way is a thief and a robber.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so if we bought so much into the American culture, we'll actually sit back and think we can actually do this thing by being an American.
Right.
And you can't do it by being an American. There's a reason why they put One Nation Under God after World War II in the Pledge of Allegiance, because they realized we cannot do this thing outside of God. There's a reason why our founding fathers acknowledged Jesus and said all of our rights come from God, because we can't do this outside of God. Mm-hmm. It's different. This is not a big bag of religions. That's not what, you know, the bumper sticker they got out there. This is not what America is. That was not the original intent of the founding fathers.
Mm-mm.
And so, you know, we can't buy into the American concept by selling Jesus out.
Mm-hmm.
We got to realize the only hope for America is for us, the church, to get that revelation back and begin to serve God and to walk in his ways and realize that the God and the only access to God is their only hope and our only hope.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you see people sitting back because they're buying into the concept of this whole new thing that came out since 19 whatever, you know. And speaking of that,
mm-hmm.
when I was going to, Don and I were headed up to Nashville, to actually Franklin, to Franklin, Tennessee, to celebrate our 24th year anniversary. You know, God had already laid on my heart. He already laid on my heart about what was in Nashville, but I hadn't actually been to this particular thing yet. And I was hoping mm-hmm. it was just something that was in the past. It was not that relevant. But I get there, and I was shocked the first time I found out about it. But when I went there to it, they actually have the government, the city of Nashville.
Of Nashville.
And we understand now in America, it's a government by the people and for the people. So it's not like the city council. These are the citizens who live in the United States of America, who are citizens of Nashville, who pay their taxes to the leaders that they choose to be able to run those offices there.
Mm-hmm.
They have a shrine there. Mm. They have a shrine on the high place there, and it's a Parthenon. And the Parthenon, if you can actually go to Nashville.gov, and we'll make this available to you on the VFN Torch. But it's a Parthenon that celebrates the false goddess Athena. It's a 41, wow. First of all, this is huge Parthenon. And it's the only copy of the Greek Parthenon that's in Greece. It's the only one in the world. And we have it in Nashville. We have it in America.
How big is this place? I mean,
it's huge. Let me tell you about the goddess that they have there. She's 41 foot 10 inches tall. I mean, like Dagon. That's like going into in a Parthenon. It's like this huge building, you know, made from stone and all the pillars. And when you see Greece, you see Parthenons. You see, you know, Parthenons up. I think on the Parthenon on top of the Mount Olympus. Where the Olympics come from, by the way. The whole concept comes from Greece. That's why Greece always leads in the Olympics. And that's what they teach in the schools, the Greek gods. And they want to take down the Ten Commandments. They don't want to teach about God, but they teach about Zeus and all this. And this is like one of the children of Zeus. Athena is. You know, it's just, anyway.
Crazy.
So I'm going, I said, okay, we got to go check this thing out and see if it's, you know, if it's true. And it's on a high place. It's on a high place. It's a high place. It is,
You know, she's the largest. It's the largest piece of sculpture in the Western world inside, you know, of a building. It's huge. It's the only thing. And it was first originally done in 1897, a part of a fair that was going on there in Nashville.
The World's Fair.
World's Fair. And they had other buildings. They had other buildings, ancient buildings. And they were looking to, at the end of this thing, you know, it was originally made like with brick and plaster and stuff. They were thinking about tearing it down. But the citizens said, this costs too much money to tear it down. So it was
the
only building.
Too big to fail, right?
No. Mm.
Too big to fail. I've heard that before.
It was the only building that was left. And then like throughout the next, you know, sometime later in the 1920s, they actually decided to rebuild it again.
Oh my goodness.
And make it permanent. It's like, what in the world are y'all doing?
We're going to make pictures of this available to you, you know, on the VFN Torch. But we have to begin to understand this. You know, when you think about King Josiah was a king that was chosen by God.
Mm-hmm.
And when he found out what was right, he immediately went around and began to destroy things like this.
Mm-hmm.
He would destroy them, and he knew that it was you know, there would be no other gods except me,
right.
God said.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he immediately was, because he was king, he was able to destroy it. And somebody mm-hmm. says, well, you know, that we can't do that in America. Well, no, the actual truth is that in America, we are the kings. There's just a lot of us. Because it's a government by the people and for the people. I mean, we're obviously not, you know, in the form we have. We're one king, but each of us determine who our leaders are going to be mm-hmm. in the country. They come to us and they spend millions of dollars on our televisions and radios, and they come fly big jets out, and they meet us at airports, and they go to town hall meetings. The reason why is because you're the king. They're vying for a position to say, will you hire me for 4 years or 6 years or 2 years? To be able to lead your nation, O King. And that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Because we can actually determine who our leaders are.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the original 10 here, which means that the citizens of Nashville, they can't say, because when I'm talking to the people at the bottom of it that are there, and they said, I said, is this owned by Vanderbilt? Mm. And they said, no, this is owned by Nashville, the city of Nashville.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was just shocked that you're taking down the Ten Commandments. You're saying you can't bring Jesus up. You can't bring Jesus up. And you got a Parthenon with Athena, a 41-foot, 10-inch Athena with her snake wrapped around her and her shield in there. And and it's just like the Temple Dagon. It's like the Temple for Asherah. It's these temples that people would go in. They would go in to these the Parthenon in Greece, and they would go seek this image, which is no god at all, and demonic manifestation. What they would say, this is what the gods tell you. Athena says you'll win the battles, or you'll, you know, here's some wisdom from Athena.
Which is demons.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, it, you know, it's familiar spirits and all those things going on.
Mm.
And you think about it, that in America, on the high place, in Nashville, I mean, you got to see this thing. I mean, I got pictures of it where they're actually, you see people standing at the foot of it, and they look like ants.
Yeah,
at the bottom of it.
The thing about it is that they chose. Nothing happens just by happenstance. You know, I'm amazed at people. Oh, well, that's always been there. No, it didn't. It wasn't always there. Somebody chose, made a decision, and then it became a reality. And in this case, they made at least three times. They made a decision. It started in 1897. They decided to keep it later. Then they decided to rebuild it in 1920s. And then it wasn't until 1990 that they actually made this 42-foot. You know, Athena thing, this statue, this goddess is like, this just didn't happen the same way people chose and made a decision. We can choose for this thing to be gone.
Then that's the whole thing. You know, when Josiah stood up and he said, you know, he realized what God's word said, and this is what's going on, that the church has we quit teaching what God says about it, because when
preach the whole word,
the whole word. And he says that this, the most horrific thing that you could do before God is to build a false god in your city on a high place and have people come in your government. This is Nashville. This is where all of our country artists come from. You know, this
music is, capital of the world.
Yeah, this is where CMT television is at, country music television. This is where, you know, the Grand Ole Opera is at. This is where, you know, you hear people say that they went there. This is where the flood just happened. recently that they're expecting at some point that a flood would come and just totally flood Nashville out. If an earthquake happens and this dam breaks, it would flood. It would totally flood, put it under 20, 30 foot of water.
Oh, wow.
But I think about, you know, Brother Kilpatrick's vision/dream. You can see it at the VFN Torch under prophetic words that in it you... In it, it talks about an earthquake, a fault line that runs from Nashville all the way down to, I don't know, Eupola or something like that. But it comes through Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And I think, and we can see this on the VFN Torch. Matter of fact, you can see years ago there was an earthquake here. It was so major, it was before all this kind of stuff that happens today, the buildings and all.
Right.
And it's so major that this earthquake's coming that it just shakes everything to the point where every bridge, it'll take a plane to fly across the Mississippi.
Wow.
I mean, you got to find, we have a lot of fun and, you know, this is about living our lives together, but we're telling you, we're here to warn you. If we didn't warn you, you know, that God says the reason why we would warn our listeners and warn everybody that we can is because so you can say, you know what, I'm ready to do what God wants to do. I'm ready to repent. I'm going to go with God. But either way, this is what he says. If you don't warn them and they die, he says, their blood's on your hand.
Right. That's right.
But if you do warn them and they do repent, then you've saved someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you warn them and they don't repent, then their blood's on their own head.
Mm.
So we're held individually responsible for that. But this earthquake is so big and I could feel it. So these people are all standing around, you know, and looking, and it's filled with a museum full of, you know, art that is, you know, offensive, you know, Jezebel's type art all around the foot of it. And so I stood up in that place right in front of that pretty near it, that 31 foot, 10 foot false god. And I said loud, because this is big, huge. You got to see this. You got to see this thing. We're going to put it on the VFN Torch for you. And I shouted, Jesus Christ is Lord of Nashville.
Amen.
And then people in that place looked over at me, and you could tell who was the Christian, who wasn't, because the ones that were Christians looked back to me with straight guilt, and they realized we should not be here. But they knew. I just saw it on their faces, and the other ones just thought something obviously strange, but I didn't care about it. I just wanted to declare on that high place that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And then I could just feel it. I mean, I just began to pray in the Spirit, and I'm walking out of there, and we just asked God to swallow that place up. Just swallow it up. And if there's going to be a quake that goes right through there, you know, God made that thing go down in the depths of the earth and never be seen again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We begin to declare it. Totally declare it, that it would be swallowed up. If that earthquake is coming, if that's why it's coming, Lord, remove this stain from our land.
Yeah. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Right. No doubt. And the citizens there. So I'm talking to a guy named Trey, who's a citizen there. And I said, man, do you understand? Do you understand what you are doing right here, what your money is buying? Do you know what's going on here?
Yeah.
And he goes, what? And I said, you have a Parthenon with a goddess in it that's 41 foot, 10 inches tall. And she says, and he goes, I didn't know about that. And I said, look. And I showed him pictures. He goes, oh, my goodness. He says, that's creepy. And I said, what's creepy is you didn't even know. I said, what's creepy? You didn't even know about it. And you're paying for this thing to happen. He goes, man, I got to get out of here. And I said, no, you need to actually say something about it.
Yeah.
This is what your government. When it's a government by the people.
And for the people.
And for the people. You know, it is you. It's not some city council. It's not Congress. It's not Senate. It's not the president. It's not your governor. It's you that are saying, I am paying my tax money and I'm voting for these people who are keeping this Parthenon and this 41 foot, 10 inch demon statue up in Nashville at the foot of the music that people are listening to all over the country, not understanding that even Satan told Jesus, listen, if you'll just worship me, if you'll bow down and worship me, you know, all these kingdoms have been given to me. I will give you what you want. You know, we have a segment on the Torch talking about, you know, the X Factor or Britain's Got Talent, something like that.
Yeah. San Miguel.
Yeah. And it's called Simon. You know, and it talks about, we're talking about how it looks like these young boys were offered up as a sacrifice to get popularity. You got to see that, because we actually show the blood on them. What it looks like blood that's placed on their necks, and them talking about it, and You know, it's just some young guys we need to pray for because the enemy just took them in and began to use them. But I was saying that to say, you know, that this is, you know, people don't understand that God's going to hold us accountable for the Parthenons in our city.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to hold the congressman. He's not going to hold the city council member. He's going to hold us because we are like Josiah here because it's a government by the people and for the people.
And the thing is, we got to pay attention. It's like when God's speaking, we have to be aware of what God is saying. This thing was built over a 10-year period of time. I mean, you think that God wasn't speaking during this time? You know, what was he? There was a warning. And the thing is that we have to hear and we have to do. But if we're walking around with our fingers in our ears and we're not taking heed to the prophetic word and what God is saying, if Josiah just threw it all back in the cave and never looked and just looked at it and never did it, you know, judgment is coming. It's like we got to change. We got to repent. We got to do what God says to do.
Well, you know, and the whole thing, somebody would say, well, why would you be bringing that up at a time like this? Because this is actually the real issues. The real issue is not a political party. The real issue is not getting the right man in office. Mm-hmm. The issue is getting the church to be able to confront the reality that you live in a land that's a government by the people and for the people. Now, you may stand up as a, quote, King Josiah, and you may say this doesn't need to be here. Mm-hmm. But listen, all God wants is enough of us to be in agreement with him so he can manifest his will in America. And it's not like we're gonna do it through our own efforts and energy. It's not by might, not by power, but by God's spirit. If we'll stand up and repent and say, God, that we've done this and we've allowed this, you know, but we pray, God, that you would begin to just bring other people in that would lead our nation and have the guts to go and smash this thing to pieces, scatter dead dog bones all over it, you know, and bury it for never to be seen before and make it an ash pile.
Yeah.
So that God would see how serious we are, you know, as a nation, as a country, that this we want to rededicate our country back to him. It'll start with us going to our knees. You can't physically go. This is not something you do illegally. This is something you do as a king of the nation. You vote, you begin to pray over the nation. You repent personally. You talk to the people who are asking you to be able to run your city, your county, your government, you know, your nation. And you ask them, are you a praying man? What do you think about this false goddess and this Parthenon sitting up here at the high place in Nashville? And they go, well, you know, it's a museum. And then I say, okay, next, you know.
Right.
And then you confront them and you tell them what God says. And he says, if you will do what God says, I will let you serve under my kingdom for 4 years.
Right.
That's right.
I will let you. I will let you, but you have to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And this is how we want this land to be dedicated to God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say no, then you just don't vote for them. And that's standing up for what's right.
That's right.
Standing up for what's right. But we should be offended. So we walked around that place and we prayed. And I just felt, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick's word, you know, that the shaking and the quaking. And that if they don't remove that, that could be the epicenter. This huge earthquake that's coming to an odd place in America that came like 100 maybe 100 years ago, something of that nature. But you can see that on the VFN Torch. You know, type in Nashville, and you will see the historical aspect of the earthquake. But we're going to put up, available today at some time, about this Parthenon. You got to see it. Mm-hmm. Well, here we are. We're coming to the end of the first hour. We had a wonderful time. If you want to find out more, don't forget you can go to VFNTV.com, download the app in your app store. And if you're leaving us and not going to join us for the extra hour, we'll begin in just a moment. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And you can catch the rest on your app. For those that will be joining us, we'll see you on the other side. God bless.